gotten farther away.
You please rise and join us in the fight.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning.
Morning.
Boyne County Board of Supervisors, December 15th, 2020. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
We have an agenda. Department heads, elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. We're busy in the office and the payroll deputy position has been posted on the website and published in one of the papers, and we have started to receive a few applications. We're taking applications until December the 30th. And then once we receive all those, we'll go through them all and see who we want to interview.
You're taking applications for what?
Payroll deputy, Kathy's position.
Oh, yeah. I probably would fit that.
Yeah, we need to.
I might need a job.
Because there's three of us currently doing Kathy's job, so, and thank to the secondary roads and Becky, and it's happening during a very busy time, so we're muddling our way through it, so.
It's a pain for all three of them. Credit to Terry for making that work out.
Said there's three of them doing it, Bob, not three of them aside, though.
First Larry ain't got a chance.
Colin Durst, IT.
Just keeping busy, like always. Nothing to report.
Thanks, Colin. Brian Carter, secondary roads.
Good morning. Wanted to give a quick update on the bridge. They are pouring the first concrete of the project this morning. At 9 o'clock, they're gonna pour a footing in the first pier that they've been working on. So that's a great sign to see that get moving. I mentioned this some time ago, so I thought I'd just mention it again. This week, if they were able to hold the schedule, they're hoping to Wednesday, that next bridge on Highway 99 to the north, which is the Dry Branch Bridge, it's right at the bad curve that's right there, is going to be one lane. It'll be full traffic control. Actually, it's going to be the lights that alternate. It'll probably be a little interesting because, of course, you got White Camp Road right there, but they're going to be doing soil borings that day, pretty much all day long. So we were able to keep it one lane, and it'll slow people down, cost some people a little bit of time, but they will still be able to get through. So that'll be Wednesday if they were able to get all their traffic control lined up, that'll be this Wednesday. They're doing another soil boring at another bridge Tuesday afternoon when they get here. It's off on a gravel road, so it won't cause any impact. So, I don't think I've done this, so it's kind of a weird thing to thank the Hawkeye and Bob, but I wanted to say thanks for the article.
It's not on the agenda.
I didn't know. it's rare that somebody puts the kind of effort he did into an article that he had on Sunday. I could have done without my name or my picture all the way through it, but but seriously, it's hard to ever get the opportunity for the public to see kind of the big picture. And that was a pretty decent snapshot of the true big picture.
Talk about you.
No, I was big in the picture, but no, you know, the project. So I thought that was, I hope people thought that was interesting, or at least gave them a little more insight into how long it is and how much it takes to do a project of that magnitude. I mean, it's just not us. That's every transportation entity everywhere you go. So I thought that was good for the public to see. I hope they took a chance to read it.
It was a very good article.
Thank you. Very good. The one online is better because it's got more pictures.
I can believe that. He took a lot of pictures. But anyway, I wanted to mention that because I did think it was a well-done snapshot for people to kind of see that big picture situation. So, but
wasn't there a bid out, or is that this week?
That is today at 11 o'clock. We'll do a bid opening, just like our other local bid openings, nothing special. Colin did set up a YouTube channel so people can watch, contractors, I should say, or people can watch. It's for the Flint Bottom paving project. So we've been looking forward to that. We dragged our feet on that one. This one's, it's probably about a year from where we had planned it, but we just, last summer, just ended up being too overloaded for it to work out, so.
I expect a big viewership, so.
So, yeah, it'll be exciting stuff, but.
Add revenue.
So that is out for bids today, and I'm sure Terry will get some bids on email, and we do that at 11 o'clock. Guys are out still ditching. We'll do that as long as the weather's gonna allow. The cooler we get, the more frost we get, so we'll just see how that goes.
How much frost is in the ground now?
Well, before we had the warm-up, there was 6 to 8 inches up in the road. And depending on where you're at, you could find a little bit. Under grass, there really wasn't much of anything at the time. Where we're finding is up in the shoulder area where we're ditching. So I think we lost some of that, but now we're back cold at night again, so we'll pick some of that back up. And then I'll just jump ahead of the game just a little bit. Hasn't really been the gravel road's best fall, to be honest with you. We spent all last week blading. We didn't pull the guys out one time. And then we get kind of the worst case scenario. We get the all day soaker on Friday, part of the day Saturday, switching to snow, switching to freezing temperatures. And so right now, what we have now is a fair number of frozen potholes. Mm-hmm. So we'll just try to find some 40 degree afternoons where they can try to scrape up enough on the surface. But the same issue of frost, 4 to 6, 8 inches, is the same issue for blading from here on until we'll be having this conversation, probably similar topic, all the way to March or April, if I had to guess. So we're aware of them. People are welcome to call, but it's pretty hard to do anything with them just right at the moment. So
March and April, you'll end up with frost boils.
Well, that depends. Yeah, you can, that's for sure. So it's just, I don't know. It's the last thing you want to see is you don't want to freeze after a 48-hour soaker of a moisture event, but that's what we did. So either way, we'll deal with it as best we can. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Rodney Wiesner, maintenance.
Good morning. Nothing new to add at this time. Thank you.
Kevin Glendenning, Sheriff-elect.
Things are going well at the Sheriff's Office. We are opening up an application process again for a new deputy sheriff. Applications, we'll be taking those through December 30th and then testing on January 16th. So if you know any qualified candidates, send them our way. We'd love to have them. We also have a promotion. We're promoting Eric Lodgett. He's been with the department for about 16 years. He'll be promoted to sergeant. He'll take that position this Friday, replacing my position. He'll take that this Friday, and he's gonna we'll have a swearing-in ceremony on Thursday for that. At the jail, we're at about 77, and 7 adults out of county, and about 4 of those, well, 4 of those are, we're waiting on room at the state. They're a little bit full right now, so three we're waiting on to go to the halfway house, and 1 to open. So numbers have been kind of trickling down.
How much training is going to be required for you to learn how to be a sheriff?
It's been an ongoing process over the last 20 years. But I'll have plenty to learn.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah. Kevin, do you have body armor for a tank?
We do. We have the option. There's discussion about that. I'm no expert on it, but I've been involved in some of those discussions that the impact of taking a round on body armor for a dog can do a lot of trauma to a dog, sometimes more than like a pass-through. There's an option for that, and it's something that we've considered. We have that on hold with the handler because he actually designs, he has a line of vests for dogs where he does that. But we haven't taken that step yet. Yeah. So it's because of the concern of the trauma from the impact from that, is my understanding. But Dylan does, our handler, he does trauma work, and that's part of his annual certification and his initial training on basically rescue, how to rescue the dog if something happens. And he just went through that last week. He's certified again for another year. He went through all that process of how to save the dog's life should that happen.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Kevin. Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Good morning. We're just plodding along nicely. However, we did receive preliminary granting of the award of the, I gotta make sure I say it right, the Coronavirus Emergency Supplemental Funding Grant for our audiovisual project that we want to do in the third floor courtroom. We've been working pretty closely with Rodney and Colin. Basically, it will provide good audio in the courtroom and good visual in the courtroom. As you may be aware, in the third floor courtroom now, when we do, for the brief period of time that we got to do jury trials, where normally the 12 people would sit in the jury box right in that front third of the courtroom, they are now spread throughout the gallery. And the somewhat archaic equipment that the courtroom has, frankly, is not good enough that all of the jurors can actually see the evidence that we put on the screen, which is what we're now required to do, rather than pass around a document as we once did. We're required by the Supreme Court order to put it on the screen. The problem we have in our courtroom is, especially if you're in that northeast corner of the gallery, you can't see the screen. And oftentimes, for anyone who's done jury trials, we'll have the little laser pointer pointing out things on a picture, and we have half of our jurors who have no idea what's going on because they simply can't see it. So we're going to be putting in a lot more visual ability for everyone in the courtroom to see. And even when we're no longer having to socially distance the way we once did, it will also be wonderful for media, family, and any member of the public who's watching a trial. I know they've always had difficulty in seeing some of the things on the pull-down screen we have. Plus, it will include, and Colin knows more about the technical part, it'll include microphones and speakers so that everyone in the courtroom can actually hear what the people are saying. I know in the past, people from the Hawkeye have complained, I can't hear the witnesses all the way back here. Well, now we have jurors who it's really imperative that they hear the witnesses who cannot hear the witnesses. So hopefully, by the time jury trials start, we'll be on the road to getting that going. And I know we have a couple of homicide cases that'll be going later in the spring, early summer. And hopefully we'll be on the road to where it's working seamlessly. I have no doubts there will be glitches. All electronics always have them. So hopefully we can kick those out, get those bugs worked out fairly quickly. But we were very excited. The grant was for the whole amount. So Colin will be working on getting the stuff ready to go from the vendor. And we're very excited to be able to bring our courtroom into the 21st century, which is long overdue.
That would be Andy Hoffman.
Andy, Leah, John, I think it's just the nature of the acoustics in that courtroom are horrendous.
Yeah.
If we have a couple of defense attorneys who actually don't hear very well, and depending on where they're situated, they don't always hear the witness. It's just always been a struggle for people who are sitting in that back gallery area. And now that it is actually the fact finders, it's important that we make sure they get to see and hear everything that's necessary to decide guilt or innocence.
Thanks, Lisa. Good news. Krista Pogemiller, Public Health.
Good morning. We continue to be busy doing contact tracing with COVID. Our numbers have gone down quite a bit, though. In the last 7 days, the percentage rate is at 11% with 145 positive cases. In the 14 days, it's 15% with 279 cases. So that has come down tremendously. People are doing a great job. Continue social distance, good hand hygiene, staying home when they're sick. Our total since the beginning of COVID, our positivity rate, or numbers, has been 3,273. There has been some recent updates to the quarantine procedures, and I've got a little bit of information on vaccine. Do you want me to talk about that now or wait till the COVID update?
Might as well do it now.
Okay, so recently the quarantine recommendations, previously if you were exposed to someone who was positive to COVID, the recommendations was to isolate 14 days since the last contact with the positive COVID case. Now it's 10 days, but if you get tested between day 5 or 7 and test negative, then your quarantine's only 7 days. So they have decreased that. They do continue to encourage everyone to continue to monitor for signs and symptoms for that 14-day time period, but they feel like a majority of the cases turn positive within that 10-day window. Also, I know there's been a lot of conversation about vaccine out in the media, and we do anticipate vaccine coming to our community soon. We are expecting some of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine. We're working with the hospital emergency management on planning for when that time does come. When it starts, what we do is we follow the CDC interim playbook as far as who will receive this vaccine. And that'll start with what they call phase 1A, which is paid and unpaid persons serving healthcare settings who have potential for direct and indirect exposure to patients and infectious materials. So that would be nurses, doctors. Those folks will be in the first grouping. And we have to follow the CDC as well as the IDPH guidance. We're expecting by the end of this week to get more information from Iowa Department of Public Health. I think they're going to take this very general guidance they've given us for healthcare providers and hopefully give us more specifics as far as prioritizing, you know, doctors, nurses, pharmacists in the categories, and that's what we're kind of waiting to hear from them as well. And the way it's set up is that we get a vaccine administration order, and we cannot give any vaccine to anyone that's outside of the 1A phase until the governor signs the order to move to the next phase. So I know people are very anxious to get the vaccine, and as soon as we have this, we will start getting that phase started, and then hopefully as vaccine becomes more readily available, eventually we'll be able to give it to phase 1B, and then hopefully when there's enough, that it will be out to the community as well.
Thanks, Krista.
Thank you.
Anybody online?
Yeah, I got a few on here. Angie Vaughn, safety.
Angie Vaughn, safety.
Good morning, can you hear me?
We can.
Wow, that's louder than I thought. I really don't have anything new to share. Just glad to be back. So that's all I have.
Thanks, Angie.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. Just kind of staying busy. We've been out harvesting firewood and doing some annual strategic planning and budget preps this time of year. Other than that, nothing to report.
Hey Chris, last week you said you was looking for help, you know, if somebody wanted to volunteer cutting firewood. Did you have any takers, did you?
Not since last week, but we've had two come up here so far since we started the season. So we've got a guy that's actually been working the last couple weekends up there splitting some firewood. So we are making progress.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Chris.
Jared Lassiter, Land Use.
Jared Lassiter, Land Use.
Good morning. We have a subdivision on the agenda for today. I will note that we have another subdivision that was just submitted, but given we got a couple holidays coming up here, we're going to have the review period go through the end of the month. So we'll plan on having that on the agenda the first week of January. Which then would mean that the subdivision we're looking at today has the distinction of being the last, if approved, would be the last subdivision to bear the signature of Bob Beck. So looking back from today, we've got a number of years of subdivisions there. That's a lot of time spent reviewing those plats with all that fine print and details on there. So I want to thank Bob for all the time spent reviewing. Probably we're looking at triple digits at this point, considering the length of time you've been on the supervisors reviewing those plats. That's a lot of big achievement when you look at the big picture there. So thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
I don't have anything else today.
Thank you, Jared.
Janelle Nellie Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Janelle Nellie Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. We just continue to keep busy here in the treasurer's office, but other than that, I really have nothing new to report.
Thanks, Janelle.
That's all I have.
You're welcome.
Okay. Is anybody? Either of you gentlemen have any correspondence?
I did.
Hate mail?
No, I got a Christmas card from the president, the current president. Very nice one, signed by him, his wife, and his son. I got one last year, too. I'm on their mailing list.
You got that from Donald Trump?
Huh?
From Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Cool.
He is still president.
Yes.
But, yeah, and I don't know why. I took it home last year, and my wife made a big deal of it, and all the kids came through and looked at it, and were pretty impressed. But, and I can see you guys are, too.
I'm not on the list. Nice. Other correspondence, we will proceed to discussion and vote. We have accounts payable in the amount of $989,402.02.
No. That's too much.
great, and I don't remember. I think a whole lot of it is the Southeast Iowa Link Mental Health region.
Oh, well.
So they gone through quite a bit, and I believe Brian's paid a couple contractors.
I may have.
You're going to rescind that, no, are you?
Yeah. But he hadn't called for the vote yet.
Somebody's going to make a motion here.
I'll second it.
Jim,
I thought I was second, but that's okay, yes.
You're going to first, and Bob's going to second? Okay.
No, Bob's first. I second. He rescinded his note.
We're going to have a retraining session.
Okay. Are we ready for the...
Terry?
Okay. Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
We just did that to confuse you, Terry.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You don't need any more confusion.
No, I don't need any more confusion.
We have the Magistrate Appointing Commission appointments. Three, because old Sam, it has been brought to our attention by the Clerk of Court, Jackie Myers, that your appointment to the Des Moines County Magistrate Appointing Commission will expire at the end of this year. Because you were appointed by this board, we are asking if you would consider continuing to serve on this commission. Please indicate your decision on the form below. We have one of those for Russell Fry, for Nancy Schulte, and Tamara Washington. We could
move to approve all three.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
That Russ Rice, quite a historian on the Burlington area when the Indians were there.
Yes, I knew Russ Dry when he was in junior college. He's matured a little since then.
Yeah, we all.
Yeah. We have a resolution and final plat for the Quitcher subdivision. I believe this is the item to which Mr. Lassiter referred. Do you want to address this, Jared? Jared's still there.
He is, he's muted.
He's on mute.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
So the Quitcher subdivision is a one lot minor subdivision in Danville Township. It's on 200th Avenue, just west of the west boundary of the ammunition plant. and it's going to create a lot at just over 3 acres. And this is part of a large area of land that's owned by a family trust. And there used to be a quarry on part of that land years ago. And over time, different siblings and family members have been agreed to subdivide for portions for each of them to build their own home. So there's been some previous splits, including a 2-lot subdivision north called Pine Old Estates, which has since been developed for 2 homes. And this would just continue the process there with an additional lot a little bit to the south for Brett Pinehold. He intends to build a home there in the near future. In terms of our review process, we have a couple of conditions on the application related to that. Number one, with ensuring that a permit for a septic system be obtained prior to construction on the house that apparently has not been submitted yet, but they intend to build, I think, assuming starting in spring or summer of next year, then that leaves some time to get that process next year. And then also, it sounds like the subdivider has already been in worked with the secondary roads on a permit for an entrance, which according to the comment we received, there are some site distance limitations along 200th Avenue. There's a curb, so the new entrance would need to be at the north side of the lot, which I spoke with the subdivider, and it sounds like that permit has already been filed, and they have a location picked out and flagged for that. So that's pretty much straightened out. However, it should note that this subdivision is being cut out of an existing lot, existing property, which I'm not sure if it's merely split by the 40-acre corner section, if it's all up, if it's technically all one legal description or not. But regardless, there is a tax parcel that this is being cut out of, and there will be a 60-foot strip left over at the south end, which will be attached to the remainder of that property. And ordinarily, those kinds of situations come about because those are set aside for a future road entrance. But it looks like in this case, since they also own the property to the south, that's just a mere coincidence. And of course, in this case, because of the site distances in that area, that location would not be appropriate for a road. So that's why we included that condition on the resolution as well. Which I should also note, that property they own to the south, there is an entrance further to the south up at 200th Avenue, so there will continue to be access for that field behind this house. And the intention is that that the entrance for the house will not be shared with any other properties. I think everything looks pretty good there, so we would recommend approval of Butcher subdivision with that one attached conditions.
Thank you, Jared.
I move to approve.
I'll second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brover?
Yes. Get those signed for the meeting. We have personnel actions.
Hold on a second. Before we move on, did anybody catch the pun?
Butcher.
The subdivision name. I think it may have gone over everybody's head here, but
that doesn't have to jump too high.
he was having a little fun with that subdivision name. I think it's just the fact that the family has been doing several subdivisions in that area. I'm calling it Quit Your Subdivision.
Quit Your Subdividing.
Yep. So that was. It's nice to get people every once in a while putting good humor into the process.
Thank you, Jared. We have personnel actions. We have one personnel action for the auditor's office. Chandra Bleesner, clerk one, a 30-month step increase. Previous rate was $35,407.68. The new rate is $36,148.80.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brover?
Yes. have two personnel actions for the correctional center. We have Seth Dixon, part-time correctional officer, an unpaid day, December 2nd, 2020, 8.25 hours. And Seth Dixon, a correctional officer, part-time, resigning from full-time and becoming part-time correctional officer. Previous rate was $38,706.18. The new rate is $12.88 an hour.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
It's kind of different for somebody going from full-time to part-time. Mostly it's part-time up to full-time.
We have two personnel actions for the sheriff's office. We have Eric Blodgett, deputy, promotion to sergeant. Previous rate was $60,980.11. The new rate is $67,687.92. And I'm sure he got a lecture on filling big shoes. And Monica Ryan, a clerk two, a 6-month step increase. Previous rate was $26,829.79. The new rate is $31,133.96.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have reports. We have the clerk of courts report for fees collected for November 2020. This report will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review. We have minutes for the regular meeting of December 8th, 2020.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
You know, this pandemic's over, we're going to have to move these desks back together.
Any other business?
I have none.
I have none.
Future agenda items. Committee reports.
I attended a rural utility service, Russ, and everything's going pretty smooth there at Russ right now. Got some irons in the fire, but nothing come up yet on it, so here in another week or so I might have an answer for you. Also attended the 8th judicial meeting, and we had a Patrick Lacey, which is the head of the down here at the halfway house, give a presentation, nice presentation. And since then, Patrick then got his new title, and I think it was in the paper too, you might have seen it. He's the Division Manager of Special Services for the 8th Judicial. So that's quite a step forward there. So. And then I did attend a Board of Health meeting. Chris, to give pretty much an update on everything that went on there. Correct me if I'm not mistaken, but didn't they say that we got enough, when we get it, we've got enough storage for 70,000 doses of that?
We do.
Yeah.
In the community. So yeah. Obviously we don't store that at public health because we don't have those kind of capacities.
Well, in the community, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the community.
I thought that was what I understood. And then there's it comes packed, like 195 little vials in a case?
It does. The Pfizer vaccine comes 195, and then the other vaccine comes, it's 100 doses, so there's 25 vials of the Moderna that comes in a package, so. A lot of those, we have to make sure it goes to locations that are able to accept that quantity, so. And with the Pfizer, it's that 80 degrees negative Celsius storage, so that's, has to be a specialized place to be able to store that, so.
And then if the, if Pfizer, is there the ones that's 21 days or, yeah, 21 days on, no, there's 28 days on theirs.
Pfizer's 21 days and the Moderna's 28 days in between.
And my understanding is if you miss that 21st or 28th day, if you go into 26th day, on the, you've got to start all over from day one.
That is correct. That is my understanding of what they've said, that it's specifically on that 21st day. And they set up a reminder system. So when we look to giving that in the future, as we're planning to give it a public health, we're looking at some sort of an app to be able to send out that reminder to people. Tomorrow's your 21st day or tomorrow's your 28th day. So we're working on that as well.
That's gonna be a job for you, getting everybody back the second time.
It is a job. And that's part of the consent that they sign. It says, yes, I will return for my second dose. So, you know, people have to make that commitment. We have it's a 6-page vaccine information sheet that they have to read and acknowledge that they've read and understand prior to taking this. And part of that is to, yes, I will agree to be here for the second dose. We don't want to waste any of that vaccine.
No. All I can do is wish you good luck on that, Krista.
Thank you. Yes. We're all excited. We're hoping that as it starts rolling out that, you know, it's we're moving in the right directions.
Might not need many doses of that vaccine if it's limited to people that are willing to read a 6-page information.
We're sending those out in advance, so agree. There's a lot to it.
On the 6-page where you sign it, you just flip up 5 and sign 6 and hand it to them.
I'm familiar with protocol. Did you have any
feedback? I have a piece of court. There's a committee meeting coming for 911, I think, tomorrow. Are you on that?
Me?
Is Sheriff? Anybody? I'm sure there's somebody. Anyway, I have not been to one, but I think one of you fellows should be at that meeting, not me, because I think that, I think that those funds should be directed toward DESCOM, the communication system, seeing as how there's a big squabble about how the money is being spent on that, and where it's coming from, and that dollar that comes off your phone bill every month, everybody's phone bill, raises a significant amount of money. And I think that's where it should go, is into that communication, because we have a really nice system set up on DESCOM, and we shouldn't want that to fall apart. And that dollar is drawn out of our checkbook every month for a reason. And that's a pretty big reason to have good communication and try to get ambulances and police and emergency people to our spot. So that's my opinion on it, and I don't know how it's going to go. And I know that it's done some good things. It's bought radios and so forth for the sheriff's department, and so they can correspond. But I think DESCOM is. It needs those funds, and stop, keep the money out of the taxpayer to getting it twice. When he pays his phone bill, then again. And we don't pay enough attention to sources of income for government, so that it's pretty easy to double dip when we're sitting in these chairs and looking for reasons why our little, we have a good name for it. Our little project, I guess, is better funded by somebody else. And I think that this is, there's a spot where we can be more efficient with those funds.
Well, Tom, you've got the emergency management board, so.
Segues right into my meetings. I attended a DESCOM Zoom meeting yesterday, and we approved the budget to present to the Emergency Management Commission after some discussion. But one of the things that was mentioned was that some of the 911s funds will be used for communications or radio equipment. I'm not really familiar with that particular organization's budget, but that was mentioned, so yeah, that's
good.
I also attended the
That's careful planning on my part, Dave.
That is careful planning. Good job, Robert.
Yeah, thank you.
I also attended the Southeast Iowa Link Mental Health and Disability Services Governance Board, and we basically just approved claims and preparing for the 2022 budget. And I attended the Grow Greater Burlington Zoom meeting this morning, and we elected new officers. So that's all I have. Public input. Since we have limited seating, anyone watching this online or listening may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. Or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. With any comments you might have, we will be accepting those calls, emails for 2 minutes. In the meantime, has anybody here got any comments? Mr. Cecil.
Yep. Michael Cecil, 2815 Herblow. Comment and a question or a clarifier. I don't know if it's the cold snap in the weather, but everybody here seems to be in pretty good nature and feisty, and I'd like to see that. So it's been a good session. The other thing, I saw in the news yesterday, where in London, where they've been doing it for a while now, the second week or so, right? I was wondering about keeping it so cold for so long in all the facilities. The virus they're giving out, they say that it can leave the cold and stay viable for 5 days, which I didn't realize, which makes it much easier to get out into the environs. Is that correct?
That is correct. And actually, it can be out of that 80 degree negative Celsius for 5 days. Once it's diluted, though, and this is undiluted because it becomes diluted.
Okay.
Once it has been reconstituted, so with the dilutant, it's only good for 6 hours.
Oh, okay.
So
that's
a difference.
Good to know.
But yes, okay. It is. There is some a little bit of time that once it comes out, that once unthawed, it cannot be refrozen. So if it's out for 5 days, it has to be used in that 5-day time.
And they said you can only move it around for so many times because it's fragile, and
mm-hmm.
then it just falls apart anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Chris, what temperature does the Moderna get stored at?
I have to look, but it's regular freezer temperature.
Right.
It's regular freezer temperature. So
does that make it easier for you?
It does, because we actually are able to store the Moderna because we do have the freezer that's capable to hold vaccines, because we already have that, and I'll have to double check. It's positive 5, but I can't remember if it's negative 8, but I'll get those numbers for you. And that is, we are able to store vaccine at that temperature. The negative 80 degrees Celsius is a special kind of freezer, and my understanding is, first of all, they're very hard to find at this point, but they're upwards of about $25,000 to purchase.
Wow.
There are no other comments. Our 2 minutes are up. With an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We are adjourned.